Trigger warnings for this episode can be found in the description below. Leftovers at the End of the World, Episode 6, The Stowaway.
Not sure about anyone else, but I enjoyed that dream. I hope you have more of those. Well, that's the last one for this morning's Dream With Me segment. If you've got a crazy dream, premonition, or bout of spewing madness, write a letter and submit your stories to the station. And if you dreamed like this person, please, feel free to write in. The forecast looks like it's going to be a mostly sunny day with some sprinkles of acid rain. So overall, a beautiful day. And if anything changes, I'll be right here keeping an eye to the skies.
Hi, this is Marigold. Do you copy?
Marigold, this is the Baha'i. I copy.
Great. Listen, are you already on your way back from Clifton?
Yeah, I got your crates.
Just the crates?
Yes? Was I supposed to grab something else?
No people?
No. Elena, what's this about? Marigold, do you copy?
I copy. Sorry, customer. I was hoping you'd be bringing a passenger back.
Was I supposed to be?
I gave them instructions to find you, but I guess that didn't happen. Alright, I'll see you back home. Marigold out.
A passenger? She knows I'm not a taxi. I probably died. The hell was that? What the... Marigold, this is the Baha'i. Do you copy?
This is Marigold. I copy. What's up?
What's in the cargo?
Bulk materials for repairs and extra copper wire. Why?
So, nothing alive?
No!
Thanks. Baha'i out.
Wait, Anna... What do you mean, nothing alive? What do you mean, nothing alive?
Good. I left the crowbar here. Swear to the ancients, this better not be something I gotta kill. Where are you? Gotcha.
Don't kill me!
A stowaway?
I'm sorry.
Kid, what are you doing here?
I needed a ride?
Explain.
Really?
Yes, but not now. Get inside. I don't want to linger here.
Wait, really? Thank you. I'm sorry for hiding myself in a crate, but I couldn't guarantee that you'd help me.
You could have traded.
I don't have anything to trade.
And hiding in a crate was your best option.
It seemed like a good idea.
Bit of advice. If you're doing that, be quieter. You're lucky it was me instead of someone else.
Really? You think I'm lucky?
What? No, calm down. It's not that serious. I'm just saying, most everyone else would have tossed you to the depths. Sit.
Thanks.
So... are you the passenger Elena was telling me about?
Yes. She said if I had a good trade, I could catch a ride with you. And also that you weren't fond of people.
As in you ask me, not sneak onto my boat.
I'm sorry. I was desperate. Can we start over? Pretend that I came aboard normally?
Yes, all right. Go on.
Hello, I'm Shelly. Nice to meet you...
Anuk. Nice to meet you too.
Nice to meet you, Anuk. I'm heading to Tempe with your shipment. Elena recommended that I catch a ride with you if you ever showed up for a delivery.
Great, take a seat. I don't do small talk.
Oh. Right. Okay. She mentioned that. I'll just sit here quietly then.
Sometimes I make exceptions, so explain.
Right. Okay. Look, it's just... I've never been lucky. Nothing has ever gone right for me, ever. It's like I'm cursed with eternal bad luck. I can tell you when it started, too. At least is when I think it started. It's the only thing that makes sense to me. And I remember it all. Every detail, like I see things right now. I'll never forget. I've had years to remember it.
What was it?
I was 11 when my parents decided to move us. We were sailing from New Mexico because death creatures had overrun our home and we had some family in Phoenix. So, nothing unusual. I'm sure you've heard the same story hundreds of times.
I have.
My parents were able to trade for floodlights so we'd be protected at night. It should have been easy, right? Except that floodlights don't do anything against a hurricane.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't be. Because it's not what you think.
Oh.
The winds and waves tossed us about like we were just playthings meant to be used and destroyed. My father was trying to keep us steady, and my mom just prayed. I was clinging to the doorway. My hands were so sweaty, it was hard to grip anything. One feeling I remember so strongly was belief. I trusted my parents to save me. You know how when you're a kid, you think your grown-ups are magic?
I didn't really have that experience. But I have friends who did.
Oh.
I do know what you're talking about, though.
Well, I remember my mother's prayer. She was begging the leftover gods to save them, no matter what the cost. I wondered what God would even hear us. And if any did, what would be the cost? I got my answer.
Well, you're here, so I guess you did.
No, not like that. I mean, it actually answered.
It what? A leftover god spoke to you? Or your mother?
Yeah, it did. There was a light from under the waves, and it seemed like it was speaking to my parents because they spoke back to it. I remember my mother side-eyeing me and then sharing a look with my father. He started pleading with her.
Why? What did she do?
I'll never get that image out of my head. The way the rain soaked her clothes and clung to her skin when she told me to come join her. She had this soft and comforting smile. The one she liked to use if I had a bad dream or was upset about something. So, of course, I went to her. She hugged me when I reached her and told me that she loved me.
Your father knew what was going to happen, and he didn't stop her?
No. He was a coward. He just stood there while she told me not to be afraid. She had me stand on the railing and look down. Even though she told me not to be scared, I was. And I was right to be. I didn't want to look into the water and the way my father was pleading with her not to do it, whatever it was, that scared me more than anything. Grown-ups are great liars.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Even though I remember shaking my head at her and telling her I didn't want to, she insisted, kept telling me that everything was going to be okay.
There wasn't a part of you that doubted?
No. I wish there was. It's just... she was so confident about it. And I was just a kid, so of course I believed her. That's what kids do. They believe in the lies and think their parents are gods. She even held my hand, guiding me while I stepped into the railing. Have you ever seen a leftover god?
No, not up close. I'm glad to say that I haven't.
I have. I looked down and saw a massive creature with glowing blue scales and pitch black eyes. I made eye contact with the creature and I knew exactly what my mother wanted. That. I lost every ounce of trust I had in them. All the love I had ever felt, gone. I saw it unhinge its jaw and display rows of jagged teeth like broken glass. I screamed and tried to back down, but my mother's grip held me firmly in place. And do you know what she said to it?
What did she say?
She said, "Take her and leave us. Take her and leave us." Her own child. And then she pushed me into the creature's mouth.
Your mother sacrificed you?
And father. He wasn't the one who pushed me, but he let it happen.
But you're alive.
Yeah. I survived, obviously, but I can't really say how. I don't remember getting swallowed or chewed up, and I don't have scars. Well, not ones from teeth, so it must have spit me up or shat me out.
I can't believe you survived that.
Yeah. Me too. I only remember floating on the waters outside of Clifton with the sun just starting to come up. There were small creatures nibbling at my wounds, getting fat on my pain. My skin was bruised and purple. There were small cuts all over me, but it was just from debris and getting thrown around by the waves. But none of that pain mattered. What felt worse was the betrayal. I couldn't get over the fact that my own parents had sacrificed me to a creature to save their own selfish skins. I know my mom didn't want kids, but to do something like that? How could anyone?
I don't know. I wish I could tell you.
If you had kids, wouldn't you do everything to protect them?
I'd try my best.
And best doesn't mean sacrificing your children!
Oh.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Take a minute.
Eventually, I paddled my way to shore and I came across the collapsed shelter. I was aching all over, and I don't even know where I got the strength from. I just wanted to lie down and cry for a while. I thought maybe I should be relieved, but I wasn't. I was numb and angry and hoped that because I had lived, they had died.
I mean, it's an understandable feeling.
It is?
Well, yeah. You were betrayed by people who were supposed to protect you. Of course you'd feel like that.
No one's ever said that to me. I thought it wasn't normal to feel like that.
Maybe it's not, but I'd feel cheated too. How long did you feel like that?
Not very long, actually. My stomach started grumbling and I needed to prioritize. I needed to eat and figure out how to survive. After what my parents did, I didn't really trust anyone's goodwill and I doubted they'd help me anyway. Some kid who just washed up? I'd be suspicious of me too.
But you were just a kid. Someone should have stepped in.
But no other kid was me. Trust me, I wasn't a kid anyone wanted to help. I was able to trade my shoes for an okay meal. It was borderline rotting, but I wasn't about to be picky. I struggled to find work since children are more of a liability than an actual reliable source of labor. But I was tough, and I made sure that I was able to trade what I needed.
Eventually, you must have gained their trust, right?
In a way, I guess. The townsfolk were still wary of me, and I understand why. I wouldn't have trusted me either. I was just the random kid that showed up out of the depths looking like hell and with an even fouler attitude. That experience, it changed me. Not just mentally, but physically. My eyes, the color, I'm sure you noticed it.
They're red, yeah.
Didn't used to be. My eyes used to be green, like the sunset. Pretty. At first, I missed them. Not anymore. I'm glad they're gone. I don't need another reminder of my parents' blood in me. It also makes me off-putting to people.
There's a lot of people with red eyes, though.
But not like mine.
No, not like yours.
It's okay, though. I got used to my life in Clifton, and they got used to me. I started being the weird one instead of the steer-clear one. It wasn't the best, but it was comfortable enough.
I'm curious. Why do you keep saying, not like me, that no one else is like you? I mean, I understand the obvious parental sacrifice thing, but no offense, that doesn't make you special.
That's a first. A lot of firsts for me today.
Has no one ever been, not that I am, but has no one ever been nice to you?
No. And here's why. I pretty quickly learned that bad luck was my best friend.
Bad luck?
It was small things at first. Tripping over my own feet, losing items to floods, somehow always getting the nearly rotten batches of fish no matter how early I ride to trade. As I got older, the bad luck became worse.
What do you mean?
I opened my own junk stall to trade only for it to collapse with the storm the next day. I resorted to a quick stall that I could easily take down at the end of the day. When I tried turning to fishing and hunting, all of my equipment broke the second I was out on the water. My boat sprung a leak.
Ooh, that's really bad luck.
And get this. I even tried dating, and I was thrilled when she said yes. We were on a first date when suddenly her partner, who was presumed dead for 5 years, suddenly shows up saying they survived and washed up in Phoenix with no memories of who they were. But then suddenly, they remembered and came back to marry her. Can you believe that?
Oh, that wow.
I never tried dating again after that. Are you single?
What? I'm flattered, but I mean,
Good. You're single. Take it from me. Stay that way. It's easier.
I think you might be a little jaded there.
I guess. I'd given up by that point. Because what was the point of doing anything when everything I did went to shit anyway? So, I decided I was just going to survive. And with my luck steadily growing worse each year, I figured it wouldn't be long before bad luck decided it was my time to die. I need to stretch.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Just please don't touch anything. You can't lean there. I need access to my console.
Sorry.
Thanks. Earlier, you said you were just going to survive, so how did you end up with me?
I came across this strange old lady.
An old lady made you change your mind? Wait, let me guess. She wasn't just any old lady.
She wasn't. She was taxied in from Sedona, saying she'd been called to come here and meet me.
Did you know each other?
Nope. No idea who she was. I even asked her if she knew me, and she said the vortexes told her who I was, and that my time was coming to an end soon. Like, yeah, lady, I already knew that. But then she said it wasn't about that. She said I would be the one to bring death, but only if I was able to seek out what I needed. And then she just clammed up and left me.
That's it, just that?
Yeah, that's it. I tried to pry for more information, but she gave me nothing. Didn't say anything else except about what a nice young lady I am.
And you listened?
Yep. I sat with it, mulling it over. Because what does she mean my time was coming to an end? She made it clear that it didn't mean my death. Does she mean my bad luck? And if she did, then what does she mean when she said I needed to seek out what I need?
So, what did you need? What made you leave? Besides the vortexes thing.
My parents? I remembered how I ended up there. I hadn't thought of them in 15 years, and I'd forgotten about them. Not because it had been so long. I forgot them on purpose. They didn't deserve to take up space in my brain. And I learned a long time ago to let go. Leave things as they are. But? I remembered, and along with my memories came the numbness and the anger. That old bag's words started to make sense. I was cursed with this bad luck because of them. Because they chose to sacrifice me. Because they chose their own pathetic lives over mine. I've seen the way parents are supposed to be with their children. They give them everything. They protect them, care for them, love them. Mine didn't. I knew then what I needed.
And what was it?
Them. In order to break this bad luck, I needed to find them. But I had no idea where to start. I was so far from any of the major ports, and a boat could potentially be disastrous for me. I needed to be smart about it and track down my parents first. I knew they were heading to Phoenix, so I wrote a letter and handed it to our regular courier requesting that he deliver it to the most knowledgeable person he knew.
That was risky. Good place to start, though.
I know. But I had nothing else to lose. It was a long shot, and not exactly descriptive, but it was the best thing I could think of. I had no idea if they were even alive or if they'd been changed like me. I doubt it. Do you know what I hoped for?
What?
I hoped they were alive and happy.
Alive and happy? Why?
Because I wanted to know what they did with their lives. What they gained from me. My sacrifice had to have been worth something.
I guess that's one way to look at it. You didn't want them to be alive and suffering? I would've.
No. I wanted them to see me and look their selfishness in the eyes. My eyes.
How long were you waiting for a response?
About a month. I started to think that my letter was lost or forgotten about. It wouldn't surprise me if that was true. But a few days ago, I was called into the lighthouse.
Someone found them?
Sort of. They had received a radio transmission and your friend, Elena, left a message for me.
Of course. Yeah, she's good at that. Don't tell her wife, though.
Well, she claimed that she saw my parents trading around the port and had no idea they had a daughter. Elena even said she talked to them. But because I expressed in my letter that I wanted to remain anonymous, she didn't tell them I was looking.
So they're there. You're gonna go see them?
Not yet. I don't know. Elena said she'd meet me at the Alumbra port if I could make it with the next shipment.
So that's why she asked me instead. So, how does it feel?
At first, my heart was beating so loud, and I was shaking so badly that the keeper thought I needed a medic. My head was going to explode. I didn't know what to even think. Excited, for sure. I am so ready for this to be over. It was so hard to contain myself. So I didn't. I screamed. I cried for such a long time that I was gasping for air. All of that expression? It felt so good. I'd finally been able to locate them, and now I just needed a ride out of there.
Hang on, if Elena specified that you could catch a ride with me, why didn't you just trust her?
I wanted to, but I was worried it might be a trap. I didn't want to risk anything going wrong. And I figured no one would notice an extra crate, so I climbed inside, and well, that's when you found me.
You know, honestly, I wouldn't have noticed if you hadn't made so much noise.
I didn't know I was claustrophobic.
I see.
I wish I'd done this sooner. Leave, I mean. But also the finally telling someone. It's so different to hear the words aloud.
You do? I wish you'd gone sooner.
Of course. It'll feel so good to be free. To do anything. To finally free myself from this curse.
What are you going to do?
Are you going to stop me?
No.
Good.
Were you going to kill me if I said yes?
No. You helped me. No one's ever done that for me before. I mean, Elena did also, but you didn't immediately throw me off the boat. And you listened to me. So, I'm grateful. It means more to me than you think.
How about a favor then? Your trade with me.
A favor? I can trade with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Deal. How do I do that?
I'll let you know when I need you. I'll leave word with Elena. She's resourceful. She'll find you.
She'll find me?
It's part of what she does.
Finding people.
Yeah. Sit. We're coming into port.
Hey, Anak.
Elena, this is your passenger.
I thought you said...
I wasn't paying attention. You know me. I'm not a taxi.
Right, right. Anyway, you must be Shelley.
Hi! You're Elena? Thank you so much for your letter and for the ride recommendation.
My pleasure. So, how was your trip?
Oh. What?
So?
She thought she was being clever by stowing away in a crate.
You didn't notice? Nice.
I noticed when she started making noise.
I'm surprised you didn't throw her overboard.
I almost did.
Why didn't you?
I don't know. There was something about her. She reminded me of, you know.
Oh. Sorry.
Don't be. It's in the past.
Anak.
It's fine.
Mm-mm.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Okay.
Shelly!
Oh, shit. Is she dead?
Here, grab my hand.
Whoa, talk about bad luck.
Oh, you have no idea.
Glad she's okay, though. Help me with the rest?
Oh, yeah.
Ever seen anyone get swaddled like that? And those teeth! If any one of those teeth wash up on shore, I know where I'll be heading. It's strange to think about, listeners, that our ancestors didn't have to deal with those types of things. I even heard that Arizona was a desert. Wow, qué raro. Can you believe that? An actual desert with sand and dust. I can't even begin to imagine what our beautiful state would look like without all this water. Or the depth creatures. Absolutely loco. In a final update for tonight, there's been some word about people disappearing in the Lost Dutchman's mine. Some say there have been reports of something swimming in the waters before dragging people down into the caves. I don't know what promoted their exploration, but it's a well-known off-limits area. But maybe, just maybe, they had a good reason. I don't know what that would be, but in the end, I get to tell you all about it. Well, that's it from me, listeners. The sun is setting, so you all know what that means. Stay inside, stay asleep, and stay safe. You'll hear me again bright and early tomorrow morning. Our last song for the night is Stop the Screams at Sunset by the heartfelt lovers. Hasta mañana.
Episode 6 featured Sabria Johnson as Shelley, Margarita Estrella as Elena, Noel R. Leon as Marisol, Kennedy Rianne as Anuk, and Manu A. as El Saguaro. This episode was written and produced by Kennedy Rianne. All licensing information can be found on the website at leftoversattheendoftheworld.com. Thanks for listening. Marami pong salamat sa inyong pagtangkilik.